And good morning, everyone.
And good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm back.
You are back. Welcome back.
I'm not dead.
I hope not.
Despite the rumors on Facebook this week.
Rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated.
Greatly exaggerated, which we'll talk about all that in a minute. I've had something happen to me this morning to begin the show that has never happened to me in my long career.
Explain, please.
In my entire career.
I think I know where this is going, and I'm slightly horrified.
Something that has never happened to me before. I'm, you know, preparing my show as usual, drinking all, you know, voluminous amounts of coffee and beverages to start my day.
And speaking of which,
let's all enjoy a sip right now. What do you say?
This is good combo coffee. Started one place, then added on at GN. Some good stuff right here.
So the result, especially for an older person, is you have to stop at the men's room. This would be another
Now I know where this is going.
I don't think you do.
This would be another thing I've never done before, is talk about my my bathroom habits. But before I start the show, because I'm going to be in here for a few hours, older man needs to be comfortable. So I go down the hall to the men's room, and I open the door, and there's a dog in the men's room charging me, barking. I don't know the dog. I mean, it looked like a nice dog, I guess. But, you know, I don't know. It's just like a dog who's never seen me before, and I'm intruding on the room where the dog is. I don't know what's going to happen.
Sounds like a great animal. Really protective. Did you use the same restroom, Dean, or did you have to go elsewhere?
No, I went to a different floor. I was terrified. This is the bottom line of the story. I go to use the men's room, and Cujo attacks me.
It's a great start to the day right there.
Yeah.
If you weren't ready for the show at that point, you are now.
I wonder if there are any explanations for this.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I can't imagine whose dog that could be.
I've heard a rumor that it might be your dog.
Well, you know, just for the theater of radio, it could be a dog that's called Poppy the Puppy, but, you know, I don't know how she would get in the men's room or what she would be doing in that men's room harassing you, Dean.
I have no idea.
I want to know how the dog opened the men's room door.
No idea.
Apparently by himself. I don't know. Is Poppy the Puppy, is that a male name or a female?
That's a female name.
That's a female.
Very talented animal.
Oh, so a female was in the men's room.
Yeah.
Violating our gender codes.
Well, uh-oh.
Okay. So nobody's going to tell me why there was a dog in the men's room?
Well, I just think Poppy wanted to explore before she had to depart, and she wanted to make sure that everything was copacetic. Like, you know, like at the airport, they have dogs that, you know, sniff all areas, make sure that everything is good for the day.
Believe me, I've been in that room before. You don't want to do any sniffing in that room. That is a room in this floor you do not want to do any sniffing in.
So many stories around that we won't get into.
So, Shawnee, have you seen a dog this morning?
Not in the men's room, but I have seen
a dog here this morning.
Yes. Yeah. Lovely dog.
I've been in this business quite a long time. I don't think I've ever seen a dog in the radio station. Any radio station.
Oh, I have. Have you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I've seen Poppy the Puppy in here before, too.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so apparently I'm the only one that...
It's the official WGN mascot, unofficially.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Sounds like Poppy needs to go to jail.
I've called the authorities already.
Doggy jail is in the future.
Yeah, I've already called the authorities because You know, when I'm headed to the men's room, what the last thing I need are any extra surprises or shocks at that point. Last thing I need.
So are the authorities on the way then, as far as
and
you know?
And apparently I'm not going to find out what's going on.
Okay.
Just to finish the story, I did go down the hall and... So I know many of you are probably wondering, did I ever get to finish my business? Yes, I did, is the answer to that.
So many options.
Yeah. Thank goodness, yes, I did.
With the dog in the room.
Dog almost attacked me at my most vulnerable time.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Gets a surprise on today's program. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday morning. So I'm looking at, you know, thank goodness we have 25 security cameras. And I'm able to see every angle of every room, of every person, of every kind from our security monitors.
I'm picturing you being chased down the hall.
Well, I wasn't. I didn't get chased down the hall, but I opened the door and a dog is charging at me, barking, in the men's room this morning.
How large would you say the dog was?
At least 6 feet tall.
Yeah. It is an intimidating animal. That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, oddly, I'm seeing on my sports security camera, in the Carm stepped out of the booth for a moment during the break, and I see the exact same dog in your broadcast booth.
Yeah, we got to protect her. We got to protect you, Dean. I'm gonna, you know, if she's gonna attack anybody, it's got to come at me.
I'm also seeing Mark Carmen wearing four pair of glasses right now. Also,
yeah, that is an interesting look.
Is it me?
Regular glasses, sunglasses on his head.
Am I hallucinating?
No.
Oh, that's true. I didn't really realize that was the case, but yeah.
Am I in the radio Twilight Zone this morning?
You know, with the headphones and the hat on, he looks like a World War I.
No, you know what he looks like?
Pilot,
like he's nuts. That's
by
what he
wing
looks.
Plane. Or
he looks
something.
Like he's completely nuts. Is what he looks like.
I think it's a strong look. I got the pink glasses. I got the regular glasses.
Got regular glasses.
I got a taupe shirt. I mean,
you are quite the. The look this morning, and the good part is that the pink sunglasses that he has on over his prescription glasses.
Yeah, now we'll get them in line right now. For you.
They were all crooked before.
Yeah,
so that's what made you look really nuts, and now you look like one of those people wearing sunglasses in the building where it's not sunny at all.
Yeah, that doesn't make well. But I do have a big window here, Dean, and the reflection can
is it blinding?
It can get to you at any moment here off the
big
off the
question
river.
Is don't try to divert. I think we have enough diversion in this world right now. What's the deal with the dog?
Well, delving into a deep life here, Dean. I'm in a shared.
Is that a support dog you have?
No. Yes.
Emotional support
on some level for sure. But we,
as nuts as you look, I could see where you might need some emotional.
Yeah,
support.
Well, I do. We all do.
Shawnee, go in there and give him a big hug.
Thank you.
That dog likes me.
Give him a
wasn't chasing
hug.
Me.
So it's a coordination.
I wonder why.
The dog is in a shared custody situation here, Dean.
Yes.
And in the early mornings of living in the suburbs where I am nowadays in beautiful Lincolnshire, outstanding opportunity out there.
It's
yes.
Quite a drive you have.
And it's a hoofer. But the other part of that is that the dog resides in the city where she belongs. Mm. Well, I don't know about belongs. That's the wrong word choice. So
sounds like a shared custody dog.
Yes. So she will be being acquired in about 28 minutes. So, 41 minutes. So that's
So the dog is here until somebody can pick up the dog.
Yes, that was it was a very there's a lot of moving parts.
And you decided to put the dog in the men's
room. Well, the worst
is a stranger could just walk in.
The worst decision that I've clearly made in the worst decision that I've made.
What if I had had some like old man emergency going on?
Yeah. No,
I would have been in trouble.
You would have been in deep trouble.
And was the dog in there alone when I went in there?
No.
You were also in
there. Yes, very much so. And she was yelled at and scolded fiercely, Dean.
For what? For doing the dog's job? Doing her job?
Yeah, no, we don't need that.
She was protecting you.
Yeah, we don't
were...
need that. I feel very protected here.
This is more bathroom talk than...
I mean, I do appreciate
than usual on a Sunday morning
to all of those of you trying to have a nice Sunday breakfast.
I mean,
this
is. I mean, she kind of gets like at least one point for content. This is, what else could be?
Nobody needs to know my bathroom habits or yours now.
Yeah, no, right. It was
or yours.
I was having a great conversation on the phone too. And
great! Yeah, if you're one of those stall talkers.
Well, normally it's a very. It's a peaceful situation in there. Like, it's just
you know what I mean, Shwani?
Yes.
You ever experience that?
Yes.
You go in to use a men's room somewhere.
So, what about that game yesterday?
Yeah. It's like, really?
It was a deep combo, too.
Really? You're going to have a conversation in there? Really? I like to do my business and get out as soon as possible. I don't want anything to delay me.
Yeah, but, Sunday morning, it's normally quiet in there. Unfortunately, this has gone and taken a major turn, which... Yeah. I don't think it'll ever take again.
So it didn't really occur to you that somebody else might use this?
Not really, no. Like, there's like, somehow it didn't, which is clearly a mistake on my
part.
It
is quiet here on Sunday morning.
I mean, very, normally.
There's hardly anybody,
but like,
pretty much.
That is until 9 o'clock.
Four or five of us here, but.
Honestly, like, I've had, like, me and you, Dean, whenever I fill in, like, I've, like, had, like, one time I brought in a Portillo's chocolate cake, and I'm like, where can I put this so they won't see it, because I wanted, like, some secret. So I, like, put it under a desk that I didn't think anybody would be at, and it was, like, your desk.
Yeah.
and Dean got chocolate cake. That was, and now we have the Poppy episode. I need to rethink how I'm doing things, clearly. This is, it's a look in the mirror moment for me.
I may never have to go to the bathroom ever again. I'm traumatized now.
Last time I was here, too, you gave me a great restaurant recommendation. I got to go to, what was it, Libertad? It was amazing.
Skokie.
That place was delicious.
Wonderful restaurant.
I mean, you've really impacted my life in many ways, dating back to...
Well, you've impacted mine in the last 20 minutes.
I'll tell you that permanently.
Yeah. We'll never recover from this one, is what I won't.
This is a good...
Whenever you go in there again, you're going to open the door very slowly.
I'm not going in there ever
again. Peek around the corner.
I'm traumatized. I'm not using that men's room ever again. It
could be a therapy session.
Every once in a while, you go in there, and the cleanup guy is there, the maintenance guy. And that's always a little bit of a shock. It's a little bit of a shock because there's hardly anybody here on Sunday morning. It's very rare. I can't believe we're talking about this.
I was when that moment happened. I was like, let me hope that.
What were you thinking at that moment?
I was thinking. I
when
really
the dog was barking.
I was thinking. I really, really hope that was Dave Schwann.
Really?
Yes.
I may have blurted out an expletive. I can't remember if I
had. I didn't hear it. I don't think you did. Maybe when the door closed.
I thought it.
Oh,
I thought it.
No one doubts that.
I thought expletive.
Weren't you like, wow?
Not with the inflection that you're using, no. It was like, It was more of a...
Yeah, yeah. No, we're in the...
What just happened to me?
Oh, well. Life is unpredictable, although this was fairly predictable that something of this nature would... Yeah.
Okay.
I got treats. We got bagels, if you'd like to, you know...
And very fine bagels.
Yeah, also. we went big today, Dean. We got the good stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going in the newsroom.
He's not coming in the newsroom either.
Scaredy cat, no.
He's not going in other studios. He's not going into the office area.
I have to get one of those suits, you know, like the policemen use when they're training their canines.
We should have put the muzzle on. That would have been good.
Is Poo-Poo, what's the dog's name again? What's the dog's name?
You know, that reminds me of a great...
Ironically, it wouldn't be Pee-Pee by any chance.
No, that would be Poppy. You know, one time...
Poppy.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. My best dog story outside of this one, which is clearly racist.
Shawnee is crying, by the way.
Yeah. You know, back in the old Showcase Studio days, Dean, Steve Dale, the legendary Steve Dale.
Yeah, he would have loved this.
Yeah, he brought in an outstanding animal who just was walking around, and then right behind the host desk, or host seat.
I remember this.
It was... it was a sight that you.
Oh, that was an animal story for the ages.
I mean, an absolute mound, and the host.
What is going on here this morning?
I had to call the hazmat unit had to come in that day. It was so bad, and but the show went on. That's the toughness of WGN. We just kept going.
I have never seen an animal in WGN ever, or any other station that I've worked in.
Oh, come on. The WGN Morning News doesn't have stuff going on in there. I feel like they've had, like, giraffes in that studio.
You know, for reptile segments, but...
Pat Tomasulo is doing something over there.
I don't think this actually really, this would be a funny thing to do on the TV morning show, to put a wild animal in the men's room. And to, you know, and Larry Potash goes in there and is surprised to find an alligator.
That's a good.
That would make me run.
That would be funny.
That would make me run.
Yeah. Almost made me run this morning, too. Is the dog okay?
Oh, doing great. Yeah. Just thinks this is a wonderful segment.
Yeah.
Never had this much attention.
Got a whole half hour dedicated to the dog. That's more than most of us get here. WGN. Super hot day. Everybody have to keep cool the next few days, right?
Yeah, 82 now at O'Hare already. It's 83 at Midway, and it's more or less a repeat of the heat and the humidity we had last week.
Yeah, very humid outside. Take all the precautions, and please keep your dogs hydrated also. Here on WGN, Bring Your Dog to Work Day.
So the dog can run to the bathroom.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time once again for your far-flung forecast. Here with the latest, Dave Fido Schwann.
And good morning. Thank you very much, Uncle Dean.
You didn't even hear me say Fido.
I did. I heard you say Fido.
Okay.
I'll have to call you Spot now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I prefer Rover.
Rover? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Rover. And
Russell Ray.
Good to have you back. Ruh-roh.
Right, Dave.
How about Dino?
Oh, yeah.
Dino.
Anyway, back to the far-flung Thank
forecast you so much.
In progress.
Friends, get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices
and
because
dog leashes.
We are taking a trip across the pond today to... Andover, Hampshire.
Oh,
Andover, Hampshire in England. Andover, Hampshire.
Do say.
Yes. This is in the district of Hampshire. The town is on the River Anton, and it has a history going back of well over 1,000 years old. But we mention Andover, Hampshire today because it is where the origins of a group that was popular in the mid-1960s called the Troggs.
Oh.
Who on July 30th, 59 wow. years ago,
yes.
this coming Wednesday, their first big hit.
Can I guess?
Was number one.
Can I guess?
Yes, you can.
Wild Thing. You make my heart sing. You make everything.
Wild Thing.
Wow.
You make my heart sing.
Go deep.
You make everything.
Wild wow. Thing.
Wild
that
Thing.
Is the original.
I think I love you.
That is the original.
But I don't even know.
For sure.
Keep going.
Come on.
Hold me tight. I love you.
I love you, Miss Crump.
Do you got some more of the song?
I do.
Yeah.
I love you.
Now, here's an interesting aspect of this song.
Can I just say, this is the weirdest Sunday show we've ever done.
We're really headed in that direction.
We have done many of these Sunday shows that have been weird.
New demo.
Not only
but this one?
Not only just a lot of shows, but a lot of them that are super weird. Today, the most weird of them all.
Very much so.
Go
here's
ahead.
An interesting aspect.
Come on, Juana, you make my heart sing.
But I want to know for sure.
I want to know for sure.
The song was written by Chip Taylor.
Ooh.
And Chip Taylor is related to the actor John Voight.
Really?
Yes. And also an uncle to Angelina Jolie.
Ooh.
And so this
wait
is
a minute. This guy, Chip Taylor, is John Voight's kid?
John Voight's brother.
Oh, his brother?
His brother.
His brother.
His brother, born in New York, he wrote Wild Thing. He also wrote Angel of the Morning,
oh.
which was a hit. Wild Thing and Angel of the Morning have been covered by other groups and artists here in the ensuing years. But how about it, Dean?
Just
59 years ago
just
this
call
month,
me Angel
Wild Thing.
Of the Morning.
All right, quick question.
Baby.
Who was the first singer that did it?
Angel of the Morning. Marianne Faithfull?
No.
Jackie DeShannon?
No. Yeah, you're getting close.
Dusty Springfield?
You're getting close.
Dusty Baker?
No. No.
Great man.
A lady by the name of Merrilee Rush.
Merrilee Rush.
Back around 68, 69.
Merrilee Rush, not Marianne Faithfull?
No. No. Angel of the Morning goes way back, Wild Thing does.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Juice Newton did a version.
Juice Newton did a version. Yep. But here we are going back and reliving our ute with Wild Thing and the Troggs. And by the way, Handover, Hampshire has cloudy skies in 68 today.
Huh. Angel of the Morning. Let's see. Merrilee Rush? Is that what you said?
Merrilee Rush. That's it.
Brings back the memories, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Carm wasn't even born yet.
Neither was our producer.
And I don't think I've ever heard the song, but it's beautiful.
Wait till she gets going.
And there's no need to take a stand.
Is Merrilee Rush still with us?
Don't know.
Don't know. She among the 35 people who died this week, celebrities who died this week. Here we go. Are you ready?
Here we go. Here comes the big chorus now.
Here we go. Everybody feel free to sing along wherever you are in the room.
Just call me Angel of the Morning. Angel.
Nice.
Just touch my cheek.
Nice.
Okay.
You don't remember that version?
I do.
Of course I have heard the song. I just didn't know the beginning. This is beautiful.
This is the year that I learned to smoke cigarettes.
She's 81, Dean, alive and well.
God bless her. Winston cigarettes. Winston takes you like a cigarette should.
Oh, man.
Red and white. Let's go.
Oh, boy.
We thought we were the coolest cats on the South Side. Hey, man, you got a match?
Now, You said prior to the newscast that you have some explaining to do.
I do. Why we ran a rerun episode last week. I'm going to explain it when I talk with Dr. Jeremy Silver, because it's
Yes, it is medically related.
It's medical related.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So,
does he get impatient with us as he's waiting to go on, and we just keep?
He's way too polite to say that.
Oh, okay.
But I can't imagine that he wouldn't be. He's like, wait, you delayed my segment so you could talk about what?
A dog in the bathroom?
What? You smoked cigarettes? What? What? And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for our weekend health segment. Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us, emergency room physician, Northwestern's Kishwaukee and Valley West Hospitals. Dr. Silver, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. A nice sunny morning to you.
It's a gorgeous Sunday morning here. And I explained to our listeners, our incredibly, loyal, caring listeners who have been sending emails all week, wondering about what happened to me last week, of why suddenly we ran a rerun episode of the show, a Father's Day episode, ironically. People were wondering, you know, what happened last week. And it turns out you will, you know, be able to relate to this probably better than most. I was an emergency room patient last week, in the good hands of emergency room people like yourself last week. When I woke up in the middle of the night, it was Saturday night / early Sunday morning, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't catch my breath. And I got scared, of course, and went to the emergency room. And they took good care of me, and they did a whole bunch of tests. After, you know, many hours of tests and, you know, treating me for not being able to breathe, they gave me some medication that helped me. I was sort of having a panic attack, anxiety attack, but also it was discovered while I was there that I had COVID, and I didn't even know. I had no symptoms, except that I couldn't breathe. And I found out later.
Other than that, you were fine.
Yeah, other than not being able to take in any oxygen, I was just fine and dandy. But I found out later that, like, one of the symptoms of COVID could be anxiety attack, could be having difficulty breathing. But I had COVID, and for the last week I've been in isolation, and I've been taking Paxlovid, not my favorite thing to take, not a tasty medicine to take at all,
but
I finished the last dosage of it last night, and that's what happened to me last week. It was like just a last minute, spent the night in the emergency room. And thank goodness for emergency room people. They were fantastic. And I had plenty of time this week to read about how there is a COVID surge going on right now.
There is. There is indeed.
As I found out firsthand last week. I don't really want to make this about myself, but that's so many people have asked, what's the deal with the rerun show last week? That's why, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was in the emergency room, and talk to us about this COVID surge. I mean, I think that's the more important thing to talk about right now, more than what happened to me.
But I would like to say, if I can, and I know that your viewers or your listeners, if they were in my chair, they would want to say, thank God you're okay. You sound great. And I wish you a speedy recovery from that. That's terrifying. Yeah.
I feel a million times better. Those anxiety attacks that I was having, really like panic attacks, I've never had that in my life. Those have passed after a few days. Those went away. And I feel, you know, pretty much back to normal now, and I'm so happy to be out of isolation. I was going nuts staying at home.
Right.
But
yeah, that's a second, but not necessarily a foreseen side effect, but definitely good to get out and about.
Yeah, very definitely. So what's going on now with the COVID? I mean, it's I guess a summertime thing because people are getting together. I attribute mine to I've been in too many airports lately, and I've been on you know, too many planes and things. I think that's where I probably got mine. But talk to us a little bit about this so other people don't have to go through what I went through.
Yeah, the you know, COVID's still circulating. It's, you know, it's now a part of the regular complement of respiratory viruses that are in our midst, unfortunately. And it continues to mutate, as all viruses do. The most recent subvariant, this NB.1.8.1, traces back to Omicron, which, as you may recall, was a fairly significant surge a couple of winters ago. The good news is that the vaccines that are out there that are available are scientists believe are still very, very well targeted to the existing mutations. And so the great news is that there is a somewhat of an antidote to this, and that is boosters and vaccines if you're eligible. And many people are, and so that's one component of this. The other component is, you know, while you potentially had a severe episode related to COVID, and whether it was, you know, look, anxiety is real. Now, whether it's anxiety for its own sake because of something going on in your brain, you know, whether it's depression or just being anxious about life, or whether it's responding to something in your body, kind of like a smoke alarm. I like to tell my patients it's like a smoke alarm, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the smoke alarm goes off because you burn the roast, and sometimes the smoke alarm goes off because there's a house fire. And sometimes it's really hard for the physician to be able to determine what it was. But the good news is it sounds like it passed quickly, which is always a good sign.
Yeah. All I can say is, it has not been a fun week. You know, people who, every time we talk about COVID, we get, you know, a fair amount of emails of people saying, oh, so this is all political. It's just a hoax. It's blah, 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 blah. It's not. Get your vaccinations. Prepare yourself as much as you can because... I'm telling you what, if you are unfortunate enough to get this, it is no fun. It's no fun. So arm yourselves and know that there's a surge going on right now in Illinois and many other states, but it certainly is going on here in the state of Illinois. And I want to say one other thing. Thank goodness, Dr. Silver, for you emergency room people. The doctors that looked after me last week, the emergency room staff, the nurses, all the people there, thank goodness, because when something like that's going on, it is pretty damn scary. And you all were there to figure out what was going on, to, you know, make me feel comfortable. You all earn your money every single day. And, I can't thank you all enough. I'm speaking to all the emergency room, people who do this, day in and day out and, not under the best of conditions. Thank goodness you're all there is all I can say. Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you for saying such kind things about my colleagues, and I know many of the folks that work at that downtown facility, and they're good people. So people are generally working the emergency room not because for their health. They work there because they really want to help people, and so they're there because they want to be, which is nice. It makes it a special place for that reason.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll talk about some other things as well. Dr. Jeremy Silver, emergency room physician, Northwestern's Kishwaukee and Valley West Hospitals.
WGN.
Dr. Jeremy Solver, the Week in Health, with us this morning. In addition to COVID surge right now, we've got a tick surge right now. Summertime, right? People need to take all the necessary precautions for these little pests.
Yeah, ticks, you know, the size of an apple seed, but extremely difficult to deal with and can cause disease, you know, including Lyme disease. But there's other diseases that ticks carry. People may have heard of babesiosis or Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and that those can be severe. And the main thing is prevention. So, you know, if you're going to be gardening outside, you know, wearing long pants, tuck your pants into your socks, long sleeve shirts, that wicking breathable material is good for the summertime. And also recognize that they are, they're blood hosts. So they like dogs and cats. And mm-hmm. So check your animals, maybe keep your dogs, you know, cut short for the summer. You can use repellents on the skin like DEET or oil of eucalyptus. If you're an adult, watch out with kids. The concentrations do matter. And permethrin spray for the clothing is extremely effective, actually.
Okay.
That's not something a lot of folks know. But
and
if you find a tick on you,
yeah,
the key is don't panic. Try to figure out by looking backwards in time when it most likely attached. If you're confident that the tick attached in less than 24 hours, you're safe from really virtually any disease. The key is when you remove it, and you need to remove it, or come over to my house. I'll take it out for you. I've done it for neighbors before. But you want to take tweezers, and you want to grab the head right at the skin.
Ew.
So that and gently twist,
yeah,
counterclockwise,
right,
so that you get all the parts out. You don't want to leave any little legs or anything inside, because yeah, those can carry disease.
Ugh. Okay. All right. That's something, you know, again, some information to, you know, that hopefully you can use to keep yourself healthy this summer. Dr. Jeremy Solver, emergency room physician, Northwestern's Kishwaukee and Valley West Hospitals. Dr. Solver, have a wonderful tick-free Sunday today.
Dean, same to you. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, sir. So were you worried about me last week?
Yeah, I was, actually. Yeah. I was worried about you, especially when I heard that
it was so,
you know, there was some sort of,
yeah,
an emergency illness. Of course. Yeah. Yes, we were concerned.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
So was Ange.
All the concerns, you know, from everybody that we work with. But, boy, our listeners, it's like family.
Yeah.
Concerned like family. So
that's a terrifying story, by the way, just listening to how you described it. Could not have been fun.
I'll tell you what, when I was woken out of sleep by not being able to breathe. That was the scary
part. That's the scary part.
That was scary.
You can't catch your breath.
I didn't know what was going on.
Wow.
I thought maybe I shouldn't have eaten that third hamburger. Ironically, it was the day of the Burger Fest.
That had been it. Not a terrible way to go out. It was delicious, I'm sure.
Ketchup and mustard all over my shirt. Some related email or texts that have come in. 708 area code wants to know if the three of us are drinking this morning.
I have started.
I have water. I'm drinking water.
Karma and I have been having martinis.
Little makers over here. It's, yeah, you know,
some mimosa action. Never hurt anybody.
It is Sunday, right?
I'm out of isolation. I'm going crazy today. I'll tell you that much. 414 area code. That's Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, Milwaukee area.
Hello, Milwaukee. It would have been nice if after the news last week, somebody would have said if it was a repeat show. Did you not do that last week? Guy says I was driving around for 2 hours trying to find
figure
a father.
Out what's going on.
Trying to find a Father's Day card. Because we ran the Father's Day repeat. Yeah.
Never too late, you know. Get a card. I'm sorry, belated.
815 area code. Have you had a COVID vaccine recently? Honestly, no, I have not. I'm behind in my vaccines. So I blame myself for not being up to date with my vaccines. I blame myself because I've gotten lax. I'm on airplanes quite a bit, and I've stopped wearing masks. For a while, I was masking it up. When I got on the plane, I would wipe down the armrests and the tray tables, and you know, I'd like sanitize everything. And I got lazy. I got away from all that. Yeah. So I don't want to say
I'm still doing a mask on an airplane.
Yeah. Well, you better believe I am. Next time you see
and a
me,
good one.
Next time you see me on a plane, I'm going to have a beekeeper suit on.
I've seen you with that around here.
Hazmat too. Suit. I'm going to have a big hazmat suit. let me see here. There was one funny email, one funny text. I can't remember. I can't find it now. Oh, well.
Make it up.
It's always a good strategy.
Oh,
they'll never know.
I remember what I wanted to end with. I wanted to apologize to everybody else who was in the emergency room last week because they do make you put that gown on that opens in the back. And believe me, I don't care how sick you are in the emergency room. Nobody needs to see that. That one.
Dean Richards on a windy city weekend. WGN.
So many of you like to moonwalk on Sunday morning. We offer this to you. Actually, the reason that I am playing this is Chicago Shakespeare Theater right now is featuring on-camera roles in this film as well. So you want to just have some silly laughs. Happy Gilmore 2. Couldn't recommend it enough. More A-listers coming up later on with five-time Academy Award winner Francis Ford Coppola. Chicago exclusive interview with us coming up in just a little while here on WGN. Nice haircut, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was overdue, and I got that while you were in absentia.
Very nice do.
Thank you. Shawnee, I like your haircut, too, by the way, Dean.
Dean Schwani looks in big time shape. The guy like is ready to run a marathon or something.
Have you lost weight, Schwani?
I have, yes.
On purpose?
Yes. I hope so.
What are you doing to lose weight?
I was just telling Carm here. I have been walking around every chance I get because the warmer weather, I take advantage of every chance I get. I walk around a lot and watching what I eat a little bit. So then he brings in these delicious bagels this morning, but they're so good. Thank you, Mark.
You know what we should do? We should have a Sunday morning Tai Chi class.
Schwani should lead that.
Make a great visual on the radio.
Let's go.
You ever see that where you see elderly people in the park and they're doing Tai Chi?
I'm doing it right now.
That's what I would like to do.
I'm doing it right now.
You are? Oh.
Oh, I'm feeling calmer already.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the weirdest.
One of the weirdest morning shows we've ever had.
He does have his arms out in a balancing maneuver that's never been seen before.
It's going to be quite the treat for whoever gets to review the security camera tapes today. It is 10:38. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN with our weekend theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago? As I mentioned a few moments ago, next week
on the program, we will be talking with comedy legend Lily Tomlin about the play that she's not starring in, but she produces, the play called Billie Jean, which is in a limited run right now at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier. It is about Billie Jean King, the legendary tennis pro. It's the story of Billie Jean King's personal and professional life and the struggles that she had breaking glass ceilings, especially back when she was doing it in the 1960s and 1970s. The show runs until August the 10th at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. We'll tell you much more about it next week when we share our conversation with the producer of Billie Jean, Lily Tomlin, the great Lily Tomlin. So we're very much looking forward to that. In the meantime, I wanted to bring to your attention a couple of productions that are going on right now. One of them at one of our very favorite places out in Aurora. The Paramount Theater, you know, is, you know, the big old theater that we love going to. And we're going to be going in, I think, the next 2-3 weeks. We're going to be back out at the Paramount for another Dean's Night Out for their latest production that's coming up. But I wanted to bring your attention to the production that has just opened at the Paramount's Copley Theater, which is just right across the street from the Paramount itself. At the Copley, they have a new production there called True West, part of Paramount's Bold series that will be running through August the 31st. And joining us to talk about it are Ben Page and Jack Ball. Ben is one of the actors in the play, the actor in the play. He plays Lee the Drifter. And Jack Ball is Austin the screenwriter in the show. And Ben and Jack both join us on the phone line right now. Guys, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. So, Ben, let me start off with you to describe a little bit what True West is all about.
Yeah, well, so that's that. Thank you for the question. So the True West takes place in 1980, and we got some nice, our set designers done a really good job of kind of putting us within that place in terms of just the color tones and the props on stage. And so it's mostly about two brothers who are estranged. They haven't seen each other in 5 years. Jack plays a kind of a preppy college boy who's in L.A. He's trying to make his money in the movie business, writing scripts. And I'm a drifter, and I've come back from a bunch of months just kind of wandering about the desert. And so that's kind of the opening picture, is just kind of these two contrasting characters standing in a kitchen. And they kind of butt heads over, you know, kind of their life and their values. And then at one point, a major movie producer comes to the house, and it all kind of goes wrong from there. And so without kind of spoiling too much, that's kind of the basic premise. And it's got a little bit of everything. It's got some violence, some comedy, and some, you know, a lot of tension between the two estranged brothers.
Yeah. How about Jack, from your perspective, what else can you pencil in to this description?
Oh, I think like the theme, along with all that stuff, the themes of the play are really how, you know, a sibling rivalry contains so many things. It contains jealousy, some hatred, and a lot of want for to be seen by your brother or sister or whatever. I think there's a lot of discussion of the two sides of a person. You know, we all have a side we present to the world and a side that lives inside of us that we don't always show. So I think these guys bring it out of each other in a really interesting way. And they're kind of fight for their place in their own family. So yeah, it's kind of a swap between the two of them, and a lot of conflict. Yeah, as they try to figure out who's going to get the script.
What's it like for you guys performing this at the Copley Theater? This is
a smaller venue, much more intimate. It's got to be, you know, that's got to bring something to the production as well, right? That it's not a vast theater. You're pretty close to the audience while you're performing this very personal story.
I think it's so awesome. I mean, it's a great size because you actually get to have these intimate moments and really bring people into them. And you get to you get to really live in it a little bit more and bring them along with you rather than have to have the story reach them. You're all kind of in the same kitchen, which is really exciting.
So tell us a little bit about working with the great Jim Cordy, legendary here in Chicago, but mm-hmm. he is the director of the production. Ben, what does Jim Cordy bring to the production?
Yes, this is my second production with Jim. We did. I was lucky enough to do Streetcar Named Desire with him about a year and a half ago. So Jim is kind of a firecracker in the rehearsal room in the sense that he's got a lot of energy and he's really good at pushing us at any given moment. And so sometimes as an actor, you might have some idea that you're trying to be slick, be like, oh, I'm going to try this. And he'll kind of get in you and be like, no, this is this moment. We need you to go here. We need you to be bigger. It needs to be more intense. And so he kind of gets on you, but with a lot of kind of infectious enthusiasm and energy of doing the show and kind of from jump. You know, there's no kind of easing into it. You kind of get into it on the first day. You got your scripts in your hands. You're kind of moving around this unfamiliar space with people you haven't met before. And he kind of really gives you a feeling of like, this is the time. We're going to do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so that's the Jim Cordy experience. It's just kind of going full throttle.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it must be like from the actor's perspective. I've known Jim Cordy for years, maybe decades. Talking to him on the show about different productions that he's been involved in. And, he has a firecracker, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And so, Jack, what, could you guys have a nicer venue? I don't mean the theater itself, but you're just right on the bank of the Fox River there. The bank, it's such a beautiful setting, and there's nice restaurants around.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's like the amount of growth that's happened in Aurora. The restaurants are amazing. The walk to the theater is so beautiful. It's really just, it's awesome place to work. It's been great.
All the way around. The show is a part of Paramount's Bold series. It's the opener for the season. It's called True West by Sam Shepard. And it'll be running through August the 31st at Paramount's Copley Theater, right across the street from the main theater at 8 East Galena Street in downtown Aurora. You can get info at ParamountAurora.com or by calling 630-896-6666. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a great show today. More on theater coming to you this summer in Chicago. Compliments of the Goodman Theater. We'll tell you about that next. 10:50 is the time. And this is Dean Richards. Sunday morning, our Week in Theater segment continues now with theater that is coming to you. The Goodman Theater is putting on something that's called Book Up. That is a production, a story, which we'll learn about in a second, but one which is traveling throughout the city into city parks where people can enjoy it. The production is directed by Tor Campbell and Raquel Torre. It's running through August the 10th, and Raquel joins us on our phone line right now to tell us more. Hi, Raquel. Welcome to WGN. Raquel, are you there? Hello. Oh, wait a second.
Wait.
Now I can hear you. Now I
can
hear
you.
Sorry.
I'm right here with you.
Got all the buttons messed up here today. Nice to have you.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, with us on the show. Tell us about Book Up.
Yeah, I would love to. Again, thank you for having me. So Book Up is a theater for the very young show, meaning like 0 to 5, is theater that's made specifically for the youngest of us and for the people that we're going to continue to see coming into our theaters in the next 10 and 20 years. And it's a show we're partnering with Night Out in the Parks. This is our third year partnering with them and bringing this show all through Chicago in different parks like North, South, West. Even today right now, I'm talking to you straight from Westlawn Park, where we just had our show at 9:30, and then we're going to have our next show now at 11:30. We're prepping right now. It's a show about literacy. I like to say that it's like Reading Rainbow meets the circus. Oh. It's a show about this traveling. I love saying that.
Yeah.
It's a show about a traveling librarian with a magical mobile library, and he's going around the parks, and then he's trying to get these three kids, these three youngsters, to read, and every time they open a book, it becomes a magical act of circus.
So what they are reading comes to life for the kids, right?
Yeah, exactly that. Very much that. Very much that.
So it's clowns, it's acrobatics, I would think, and juggling and typical kind of circus things to engage
you You are visualizing the right thing.
Yeah,
it is very visual because one of the things we've learned is that for the youngest of audiences, having very visual things is very important. And of course, like I like to say, like this show, yes, it is for 0 to 5, but it's really perfect for the whole family. Like older kids, our 8-year-olds, you know, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, like enjoy it so well. It's really a great family show, but it's very visual. It has juggling. It has, we have an outdoor aerial rig with a trapeze on it.
Oh, wow.
We do juggling. We do acrobatics. We do a whole bunch of things. A lot of clownery, of course, and a beautiful story behind it.
I would think that it would be so fun to bring your kids or your grandkids and just to, you know, to watch the show, of course, but to watch the kids reacting to that. You must see nothing but, you know, eyes wide open, like, you know, saucer-sized, as the kids see these stories come to life, I would imagine, right?
Oh, totally. It's one of my favorite parts. Actually, with our lead producer for the show and the director of education at the Goodman, Jared Bellow, he has a file where he's constantly writing down the quotes we hear during the show of kids saying like funny things or reactions to the show. It's just magical. It's really just magical. And I know it firsthand because one of the reasons why I created the show, I created it a couple of years ago for the 150th anniversary of the Chicago Public Library. 2 years ago, and then the Goodman approached me to produce it for their season, which was amazing, and then I co-directed it with Tor Campbell at the Goodman. But one of the reasons why this is very close and dear to me, other than because I love books and I love the circus, is also because I have a little one. My kid is now 4 years old, so he gets to enjoy this up close, and I'm like, ooh, yes, I know very well
sure.
what this demographic is into.
Yeah, I would imagine that gives you a unique insight on how to motivate the kids to get excited. I'm curious what the reaction is like and what they say and if they participate, because I'm sure you must have some kids who are just shy and, you know, don't want to participate, or, you know, it takes a little warming up to get them to participate, and some that must just jump right in there. The future Raquel Torres of the world just want to jump right up and, you know, be part of the action, I would imagine.
Oh, totally. All types of kids. These shows are usually made to be very interactive, very engaging. The structure of the show, it's made specifically for the processing capabilities of a 0 to 5 child. So the way they're constructed, it's made in a way where it shouldn't be too daunting or too big or too much all at once. In a way, but we do have all kinds of kids. Some kids that is like, I'm just going to sit with mommy here and just watch from afar.
Right.
And some kids who want to be right next to the actor. We have all of the kids, all of the type of kids. And it's so funny to see all their reactions. Like there's a part in which the librarian falls asleep and then lays on the ground with a book covering his head. And then yesterday we had a little girl who came and just laid right next to the librarian, covering her face too. Like they do a lot of imitation too. We have one of the things we do is that at the beginning of the show, we hand our audience members like these library cards. Because one of the things I'm a big fan of the Chicago Public Library. I think we have an amazing library system and I always want to support them. So I always wanted to encourage people like, oh yeah, totally. Like sign up and get your library cards. So part of the show is that there's these magical library cards we hand out to the audience at the beginning.
Oh, that's
great. Really big, big size. They each have a letter. And to activate the magical mobile library, we need the audience to help us to put their cards in. So then it gets activated, bubbles come out, and that often gets the kids really going. They love seeing that. But when it's this thing of, like, you know, young children really like being involved. They like helping. They like feeling like they were the ones helping push the story forward.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we always like to do. But this is not the type of show that you just come and you sit and you watch. Well, still shows are great, too. I love them, too. But it's really a show meant and constructed for kids to be a part of.
Yeah, it sounds really fun. It sounds great that you're motivating them to pursue reading. And it's all available in your neighborhoods out there. As Raquel mentioned, she's at West Lawn Park at 4233 West 65th Street today. And then the shows are Wednesday, Thursday, Saturdays, and Sundays in different parks, north side, south side. How do people get more information and find out the exact locations of where you'll be?
Yeah, of course. You can head on over to our webpage. It's goodman.org/bookup. And then you'll see right there all of the information. You'll see the map with all the parks are going to be there. It's completely free, obviously. But reservations are recommended mostly because if we have to go for a rain plan one day, like yesterday,
we were
at Coffs Park. It was a beautiful day. But it was rainy. It was like slightly rainy, you know, right on the edge. So we performed inside in the field house.
Right.
And so that way you get all the communications then through email. So reservations are recommended.
Okay.
But you can find out more information there. Every show is at 9:30 and 11:30.
Right.
And also in our webpage, we have the information of specifically where in the park we'll be performing, because some of our beautiful parks are pretty big, like Marquette Park.
Right.
We have information on where on Marquette Park we're going to be performing, and you can find us there.
GoodmanTheater.org/bookup. Raquel Torre, have a great Sunday. Have a great show in a half an hour. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
That's good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks. I was having a very important conference with engineer Bob.
I saw that, yes.
Bob Ferguson, we were discussing.
You looked like it was a very serious conversation on the way.
Yeah,
Dean, I'm so happy you're back healthy.
What? We have a Bob Ferguson impersonator on the show.
It's my guy.
That was good.
Wow.
Just making sure you're all set up in here.
He was checking my technical requirements.
Yep,
there it is.
If you will.
Of course.
We didn't have our usual dead air in spots this morning.
No,
that's what he was talking to you about.
I think he's worried that I haven't messed anything
up. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. Yeah,
he's worried. He's worried that I haven't screwed anything up here today.
Especially after having been gone last week.
Well, having been gone last week, but if you weren't listening to the beginning of the program today, I had the most traumatic experience ever in my entire radio career, when I was practically attacked by a ferocious animal in the men's room here at WGN this morning.
We will never live this one down.
I know.
Is Poopy the dog still here? What's the dog's name again?
It's
Peepy?
That would be Poppy.
That gets schwatty every time I say Peepy.
Why? Dave's such a good just companion.
He's a good laugher.
I've never seen anybody as happy as when word came in that I was bringing in bagels.
The bagels, yes.
Shawnee was apparently, you know, really.
Oh, he loves.
Where is our guest of honor this morning?
Yeah, where is, what is it? I'm sorry, I can't.
It's Poppy.
Poppy. I'm going to write this.
Poppy.
I like to call her Poppy the puppy.
Poppy the puppy.
Even though she's not really a puppy.
What kind of dog is Poppy?
She's an Australian Labradoodle. She comes from the Bungee Doodles.
A very, very nice looking dog.
A very sweet dog.
Under normal circumstances, if I
wasn't. The dog was really nice to me.
The dog hadn't lunged at my throat. I think I probably would have enjoyed meeting the dog under nicer circumstances.
The dog was really nice to me.
It's poor training. You know, got to point the thumb. It's just a bad job.
Yeah. Went right for my throat.
Yeah. Now, she's only killed like six people.
And considering we were in the men's room, I'm glad that's where she lunged. Let's just say. Is the dog still here?
Dog is still here, but about to depart.
That's the quietest dog I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, she's trauma.
Well, now, wait a minute. I thought you said this dog was ferociously barking at you.
She was. I walked in. Here's what happened, if you weren't listening.
Oh, here we go again.
After about a gallon of coffee this morning, I had to stop in the men's room, as one might imagine, after drinking a large volume of liquids. I had to stop in the men's room, which I, you know, before the show, you want to get comfortable. So I go in there, I open the door, and there's kind of a long hallway in this men's room adjacent to the stallular area. And a dog is like running at me when I'm opening the door, barking ferociously and lunging at my throat.
It was
Yeah.
That's because she just really wanted to be pet. She loves you so much. It was instant.
So I went down the hall to found a different. Thank goodness we have more than one men's room on this floor.
Great bathrooms.
Yeah. So I was just surprised. That's all.
I wonder why.
It was just
such a logical thing to happen.
Yeah. So anyway, all's well that ends well. And Poppy.
Poopy,
yes.
I just want to
say. Don't say it again.
I just want to say to make you laugh.
We should take a picture on the way out. It'll be great.
I already did take a picture of the dog.
I haven't really. Is the dog by your, like, laying down right now?
Cowering and hiding. Feels
the
terrible.
It's so quiet.
Feels terrible.
Dean has shamed the dog today.
She's going off to instructional class for the next 6 weeks. She's a little bummed about it, but, you know.
That's where she should
be. That's the way it is.
That's where she should be. Next week on the program, we'll be bringing other animals into the show.
Yes, we will.
And hiding them.
I have some ideas.
Well, we're going to be hiding them in different parts of the office. A new segment called Let's Shock Dean. I can't wait for that. Dean Richards! Oh, that didn't sound the way it was supposed to.
I don't know what happened there.
Let's try it again. And Shock Dean Richards!
Dean Richards! WGN! Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Look around you, and you'll see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow
that beautiful?
Of your being outshines every star.
Singer Cleo Lane. One of the great vocalists of all time. We now add to the list, the long list, over the last couple of weeks of celebrity deaths, Cleo Lane passing away.
And after living a very, very long, full life.
Yeah.
Into the 90s, I think.
The first British jazz artist to become a dame. Had a memorable career. On stage as a vocalist, a Grammy Award winner, as a Tony Award nominee. She died at the age of 97. Isn't this classic, though? Ah, this is so great. I could listen to her music all day long. Love it. But how about these celebrity deaths, though?
One right after another.
Chuck Mangione shocked me. Saw him at Ravinia.
Did you?
Saw him perform a couple of times, you know, because I have a smooth jazz background, Schwann.
I know this from Casa del Smooth.
I don't know if you know that or not.
We worked there together.
I used to jazz up people morning, jazz up your mornings.
Yeah, you did more than that when I was there in the morning.
It's the truth. He ain't lying.
I'll never forget the morning I came in with laryngitis and tried my best, and all you did was make fun of me.
Well, that's all I needed.
That's all you've done for 44 years.
Are you kidding
anyway.
Me? That's what I needed. Yeah, we played a lot of Chuck Mangione music over there. And, of course, you know, his signature song, Feels So Good. Hulk Hogan, not especially a big fan of his for a variety of reasons. But I was sorry to hear that he passed away. Malcolm Jamal Warner, young man, Theo from The Cosby Show, was only 54 years old. Connie Francis passing away. Did you hear who performed at her funeral?
No.
Celine Dion performed, and she never sings anymore. And Josh Groban.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were lots and lots of contemporary and also, you know, stars of Connie Francis's era all attending her funeral. She was really revered as, you know, quite the vocalist and remembered. She passed away. Ozzy Osbourne, of course, 76 years old. Anne Burrell, the celebrity chef, passed away. So, it's been, you know, they say they die in threes, but
this is more like six and eights.
This is like multiples, yeah, this time. So
young, too. Anne Burrell is 55. Malcolm Jordan Warner is 54.
54, right.
Swimming. That was a horrible story.
Can you imagine that? You're out swimming someplace and you get caught in a riptide. Riptide, is that what it's called?
Yeah, rip current.
Rip current.
Rip current.
Rip current. Yeah. And suddenly, like, you're just being dragged. You can't, like, swim your way out of it. Horrible. What a horrible way to die. Not that there's really a good way, I guess. But anyway. So, yeah, we add to that list now the great and legendary Cleo Lane to the list. And hopefully that'll end it for a little while. Coming up, we've got one of the greats, maybe one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. I was fortunate enough to spend some one-on-one time for a Chicago exclusive interview with the great Francis Ford Coppola, man who made The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, and go down the list of great movies that he has made. That is coming up next. Chicago's very own WGN. WGN 1124, Dean Richards Sunday morning, and what an honor to have been given the only interview that Francis Ford Coppola did when he was here in Chicago this past Friday night at the Chicago Theater, a special night in which they showed his latest movie, Megalopolis, and then he did a question and answer session following the film. But how do you talk about Francis Ford Coppola without talking about the movies that he's given us over the years, for which he has been awarded 5 Academy Awards? Movies like The Godfathers, Part 1, 2, and 3. We won't talk about Part 3, but Parts 1 and 2 were among the greatest movies ever made. Apocalypse Now, The Outsiders is included in that list. Peggy Sue Got Married, Bram Stoker's Dracula, the list goes on and on and on of phenomenal movies that he has made, and that's why it was such an honor for me to spend some one-on-one time with him. And as I found out talking with him, he has got a little bit of Chicago history.
It's a little bit of a homecoming for you, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I am very fond of the Chicago area for lots of reasons. it's the fact that it's a great city being only one of them. But also I have a, for a while I was, in my youth, I wanted to have a, basically a co-ed baseball league in Rockford, which is not far from you. And to do that, you have to get a baseball stadium and then make it be a sort of like the old days where it would be the Rockford such and such and the yeah. Chicago such and such. And it would be my idea. You know, American women want to play baseball, but they don't let them. So that was what we were after. But that's another story.
Yeah, that's a great story. That's you could have made a league of their own.
Well, it was made. It's a great movie, by the way, and it was the Rockford Peaches, I guess.
Yeah,
Penny Marshall directed that. I think it's one of the best baseball movies ever made.
I agree with you. You also have some Chicago connection, ironically, with Chicago theater and your dad, who did an appearance similar to what you're doing on Friday.
Yes, well, that's yeah. Chicago, you can't avoid it. It's so wonderful in so many different ways and areas. And of course, my father did Napoleon, performed it there, there was one other reference that you had.
Well, I know that he did a show in 1981 with an orchestra conducting the score for the film Napoleon at the Chicago Theater.
He did that in Chicago. Well, he went on tour doing that, and that was the first time that a silent movie was performed with a live orchestra in modern times. It used to be in the old days they used to do that. Now it's common, you hear of it, but that was a breakthrough experience, definitely.
Yeah, they sent me a picture of the marquee of when your dad was performing in 1981, side by side with the marquee with your name on it, which is up there right now. So it's kind of cool to see the side by side. So what will people see when they come to the Chicago Theater? What do you plan? I know you're going to have a screening of Megalopolis.
I'm going to screen Megalopolis, but after the screening, we'll engage with the audience in a discussion, and of course they can ask questions, but basically what I want to talk about is what could the future be? Why are we always so down on the future? Why does it always look so demoralizing and troublesome? We're one human family stretched around the world, and our capabilities are boundless. We're sort of a genius species, if you really want to be honest about it, with what we can accomplish. And I feel there's no reason why we can't make a world for our children that it would be a joy for them to live in.
So this was this past Friday night at the Chicago Theater. Francis Ford Coppola showing his movie Megalopolis and talking about not only change in the world, but in the movies as well. What does he think of the current state of movie making? That is coming up when we continue more on with my one-on-one conversation with Francis Ford Coppola, exclusive, coming up right after a check of WGN News.
Saturday night at the movie. What picture you see when you're with your baby last row in the balcony.
11:36. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Thank you very, very much for being here with us as always. Hope you're enjoying the show on your end today. We're talking movies with one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, five-time Academy Award winner, Francis Ford Coppola, my exclusive Chicago one-on-one interview with him. Do you know that Francis Ford Coppola movies have been nominated 55 times for Academy Awards? 10 for the original Godfather, 11 for Godfather Part 2, 8 for Apocalypse Now,
7 for the very controversial Godfather Part 3. I don't understand that because I think it was a bad movie. But that was just my opinion on that. 4 of them for Bram Stoker's Dracula, which was an incredible movie. The list goes on and on with Finian's Rainbow and The Cotton Club and Peggy Sue Got Married and Tucker, The Man and His Dream. Boy, that's a sleeper film. I love that movie. He's given us so many great ones through the years. And now, you know, we're looking at, you know, movies that are topping the box office like Lilo and Stitch, like Superman, which I think is pretty great, Fantastic Four, which is cleaning up at the box office this weekend. They're expecting it to wind up debuting at about $110 million for its opening weekend. So, you know, very different kind of movie scene that we're in right now and movie environment that we're in right now. And when I talked one-on-one with Mr. Coppola, 86-year-old Mr. Coppola, by the way, you know, very, very strong opinions about everything. I wondered how he looked at the movie industry right now and the current state of movie making. This is what he told me.
Well, because the people who run the film business, the executives who run those systems of finance primarily, have one job that they're concerned with, and that is to be sure without a doubt that they meet their debt payments. And so they're basically not in a position to take any risks whatsoever. They're very highly compensated, but if they miss paying off their debt payments, they're out. And so it's a system that's dying. And of course, little by little, they're trying to usher the entire movie going experience into the home streaming idea. Well, that's home video. Cinema was not made to be shown as home video. Home video was something that after you had already experienced the film, you might want to see it again and relive the experience and enjoy it. But people should see films in theaters and with big audiences where they can become part. That's thousands of year old tradition. And it's just being, oh, yes, now they're streaming. Well, I don't accept streaming. Streaming, most people don't even know what streaming is and who invented it, by the way. I know who invented streaming, but it's just another form of home video, you know, and we've had that for 50 years. Who invented it?
Yeah.
Major League Baseball.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, the teams got together and they said, gee, you know, a lot of times our teams are not where our fans are, so we want them to see it. And it has to be really at a high quality because it's, you know, it's sports and it's always moving, so you can't do a lot of compression. And they came up with the method of doing it, and then they put it together in a corporation and called it BAMTech and sold it for many millions of dollars to Disney. But it was Major League Baseball who did it.
That started the whole thing off. How about that? About the quality of movies right now? I know it's bottom line oriented, but are you satisfied with the quality of movies that we're seeing for the most part?
No, because they have made a formula that since they're not interested in risk, they've made a formula that they've brainwashed everyone, including many critics, that you have to follow a certain progression of ideas, a certain way things develop. Movies are not like that. Movies are free. You know, in the words of the great John Godard, he said, yes, they should have a beginning, a middle, and an end, but not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that each generation of filmmakers should reinvent. This is not some formula of Coca-Cola that you hand down and they make the same. What are they doing now? They're making the same movie over and over again, maybe with a different cast, maybe with a slightly different aspect. But they're trying to have creativity without risk, which is like trying to make babies without sex. You can do it, but it's not the best way.
Yeah, right. So, you know, fans are going to be treated to a big screen
showing of Megalopolis.
And with the elements which were intended, which were not always done. In other words, there's other things happen. I don't know if you've seen it in the theater. If you've seen it in the theater with its real production, you know it's not entirely just the movie that starts and ends, that there are other things that happen in the course of it that are important.
Yeah. I read that you were going to recut the film. Your words, according to the article that I read, you were going to make it weirder.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you get me talking in a conversation with the audience. What I said was that, you know, that yes, when we came out with Megalopolis, we knew it was unusual. So, I mean, we made what we thought the audience would best be able to digest and accept. And mind you, this is an expensive movie, but without an expensive budget to market it, most movies that cost what Megalopolis cost have $60, $70 million budgets just to advertise them. We went out with nothing. We went out with nothing but the good word of what the social media had to say about it. So that's one of the things that really affected how it did. But, you know, it was very much like Apocalypse Now. It had reviews saying this is the worst film ever made, and it had reviews saying this is the greatest film ever made, which I like, because it means the thing is alive, that it's just not following some tired algorithms as to what a movie should have and how a movie should tell itself, that it's something that should change over time and evolve, as art always has. I mean, if you were going to get a painting from France, you sure as hell wouldn't want one that was done by the French Academy. You wouldn't want all the rebels, the Matisse and who knows, Picasso and the ones who went against the rules. Well, why is it any different now? For films, you know, why? Who wants to see a remake of something that's already been made 20 times?
Yeah, well, you literally put your money where your mouth is with this.
And it's my last of it. In other words, if I put up $130 million, it's my last $130 million. It's not like I have another billion in the bank, you know. That's the difference.
And I guess, I mean, in a way, maybe you've already answered this question with some of your other responses of what you would advise young filmmakers. I hear from them all the time. You know, what should I do? What should I look at? What topic should I cover? How should I approach things? What does the master tell them? What does Francis Ford tell them?
I tell them that you are a million to one shot. There's only one of you out of a million, so make your work personal. Don't follow what other people are doing. Do what you love, always, but make it as personal as you possibly can, because if you do, then it will be unique. You know, what's happening now with the talent is an abundance of talent. There's so many talented young people. But what's happening now is that the big companies sort of get them doing a Marvel picture right away. So you have a fabulous Denis Deneuve or Zoe, what's her name, or the fellow who did Fruitvale Station. What was his name?
Great
artist.
Oh my gosh, he just did, he also just did Sinners, which is amazing.
Yeah. So what they do is they get them hooked on getting, you know, a lot of big grosses and try to get them where they'll just keep doing that. And you know, that's the new technique, you know, if they just suck them in right away. But, you know, these are the flower of the cinema. They should reinvent the cinema, not perpetuate old forms. And I think they will.
During the pandemic, because we couldn't get guests on our show, they asked me to start a cooking segment because I like to cook. So I did. And, you know, all these years later now, 3-4 years later, it's going strong. People really seem to love it. You've given us some fantastic food scenes. I wonder if you have a recipe that you love, that you specialize in, that I can try to recreate in honor of you.
Well, in honor of me and Marty Scorsese, which is Mrs. Scorsese's lemon chicken. You know, he wrote a book, Marty's Mother. Unfortunately, it's out of print, but it's still possible to get that book. If you can get that book, and I'm sure you can, because it's become a really it has the recipe of lemon chicken in it, and that's a wonderful recipe.
Okay, I'm gonna give that a try. You know, I come from Greek heritage, and we're pretty good with our lemon chickens. But
Tikanis.
Kala, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. I appreciate all that you've given us through the years, some amazing artwork of film. It's going to be a spectacular evening at the Chicago Theater Friday night. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster. Continued success and good health to you. It's wonderful, wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk to you, and congratulations on your cooking career.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah, there you go. 86-year-old Francis Ford Coppola, our Chicago exclusive interview with him, the one interview that he did leading up to his appearance at the Chicago Theater this past Friday night. We're happy that we were able to bring it to you here on WGN Radio and also on WGN Television. You want to see the full interview? We've got it posted up, WGNTV.com/Dean's List. It's 11:49.
Chicago's very own WGN.
We're getting ready for the Brickyard 400 from Indy coming up at the top of the hour at 12 noon. So we're going to have a very abbreviated food time show today. We talked a little bit about with Francis Ford Coppola a minute ago. I was looking for, you know, a great Italian recipe from him, something that I could recreate on my TV cooking segment this week. And he referred me to Martin Scorsese's mom's cookbook. Says it's out of print, but I should be able to find a copy. I'm going to look for a copy of it. Because I can imagine that must be amazing with some great old school Italian recipes in it. And he recommended the lemon chicken recipe in there. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to give it a try. We'll, you know, if I can find it, we'll definitely feature it on the program. I'm pretty sure that we've got some lemon chicken recipes. I've done that, I think, several times on my TV cooking segment, some form of like Vesuvio chicken or a Greek lemon chicken. I know I've done sheet pan chicken and potatoes on a sheet pan. I've done it in foil packets. I've done it a variety of different ways. As you may know, we put the videos and the recipes for all of my TV cooking segments in one place, easy for you to find, WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks, WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks, if you want to find some of those recipes. Now, as for this coming Wednesday, we're going to be doing a summertime favorite. We're going to be doing some roasted corn on the cob, corn on the cob on the grill. Every year, people ask me, what's the best way to do corn on the cob? Some people boil it, which I think is sacrilege. You should never do that. You should do it in the oven. You can do it in the broiler. If it's not outside grilling weather, you can just, you know, put it in a pan and put it under the broiler, and you got to rotate it every 7 minutes or so. Give it about a third of a turn under the broiler until it is the doneness that you like. I happen to like it to where the kernels get a little bit brown. I think it's delicious. So, there's that way, but of course on the grill as well. And I'm going to show you how to do it on the grill, whether you roast it with the husk and the silk still on. Some people like to do that. Some people like to clean the cobs. I happen to like to clean the cobs off first before I put them on, because it is a mess trying to clean them up after you cook them. Now you've got these beautifully roasted, cobs, and they're so hot, you have to wait a half an hour until they cool down. And the husks and the silk, and it's just, it's a mess. It gets everywhere. So if I'm going to do it on the grill, I take the silks off, the husks and the silk off. Sometimes I'll put it in aluminum foil with a little pat of butter in there. Sometimes I'll just put the cob straight directly on the grill. I spray a little olive oil on the cob itself, put it in direct fire on the grill, and give it, again, like about 7 minutes and a third of a turn, 7 minutes and a third of a turn, and until it gets to the brownness. It's usually about 20 minutes or so that you do that. But I'm going to have a recipe for that. I'm going to have a recipe for a pasta dish using roasted corn on the cob, and also a dessert dish using roasted corn on the cob. So that's all going to be coming up Wednesday. That's going to be it for us today. Thank you for listening. The Brickyard 400 live from Indianapolis is coming up next. We appreciate you being here with us every Sunday morning. And this is 720 WGN Chicago.